Welcome to First United Methodist Church's worship service. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org to learn about in-person worship times at both locations. Worship will begin shortly. We are glad that you are with us.
Welcome to First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. My name is Reverend John Reynolds, and it's so great to have you with us here on this beautiful Sunday morning. As we gather for worship, I just want to let you know we're a congregation that's striving to help people know God, love God, and serve God, and we hope that something that we pray or say or sing together this day helps you grow in your faith and helps connect you with the God who created all things. As we gather for worship this morning, we're excited to have Reverend Lynn Hazley bring the message today. It's a message that will be centered on our stories and how we're shaped and formed in the faith. And so as we gather this morning, I want to encourage you to take a moment to fill out the connection card that hopefully you were handed on the way in the door. There's a whole bunch of ministries on the back side of that sheet, and you can take a moment and just check off any of those ministries that sound exciting or interesting for you. We would love to have you involved and connected to the life and ministries of our church. In addition to that, there's yellow prayer cards in the pew back in front of you, or perhaps behind you if you're sitting in the front row. Those yellow cards, you can fill them out with any prayer concern, any concerns that you might have that are going on in your life. We would be humbled and honored to pray over those cards as we move through our week. We take them very seriously here, and so if you would like to fill those out, you could have us pray for yourself or a loved one, a family member, anybody. We also have a group that meets every Thursday to pray over those concerns as well that we would love for you to be a part of if you feel called to do that. As we continue worship, we decided we're going to put the announcements for the service at the beginning of the service. So you'll hear a couple of announcements at the beginning. We typically have had announcements at the end of the church service. We're changing it up. We're just keeping you on your toes today. So with that, I want to invite Pastor Allison to come forward to share an exciting announcement about our 11 o'clock hour. Please welcome Allison.
Well, good morning. It's good to see all of you here in the 11 o'clock service. I am so excited to be able to announce to you that next week begins a new opportunity for children during this service right here. So most of you might know at 9:30 we have a Sunday school hour, and during that time kids check in downstairs and they stay down there the whole time in their class. Well, during the 11, it's been something on my heart ever since I started to have an opportunity for kids to be able to leave after the wonderful music. They're in here for the songs at the beginning, and then they'll be dismissed to the back and leave with their teachers and go into the chapel, so they're not going too far, and they'll have a Bible story for their age and a craft or an activity for their age, and then they'll come back and be back in for the music at the end. So this is something that, you know, I've hoped that, could happen, but it was truly just kind of a God-inspired thing that about a month ago, Lorraine Tooman came to me, and she and Penny Karaska, they're wonderful. They're like, this is on our heart to do, and I was like, this is awesome, because that's also something that I would love to see happen. So I'm very excited that it starts actually next week, just in time for Advent season to begin. So as you come to church, and in anticipation of the birth of Jesus, you can do that as a family, and there will be something during this service for kids to go to. It's for ages 3 through 6th grade, and if you come to the service and you're in 6th grade or 7th grade and you'd like to be a helper in the class, that would be awesome. We would love for that. And right now, actually, it's super convenient. Well, maybe not right now, after the service. If you use your phone to scan this code right inside your bulletin, then you can register your kids or your grandkids so that they're all set up, so they'll have a name tag waiting for them next week so that we know all their important information when they go to class. So I can't wait for that to begin next week. Thanks so much.
Thanks so much, Allison, for that exciting announcement. I also wanted to share, we'll be having a special Hope for Christmas service. It'll be December 4th at 5 p.m. If for you or any other members of your family, this is a particularly challenging time of year, it's exciting to see Christmas trees and Santa Claus out in various places, but perhaps there's something going on in your life or in the life of a family member that makes this season particularly challenging, this service is for you. It's a service where we'll gather around candlelight and have an opportunity to be led in some liturgy and song, and we invite you to come to that service. It's December 4th at 5 p.m. And finally, there are tickets being sold for the children's musical out in the community room. It's a wonderfully free event. Deanne and Sevi Ramos will be catering the meal. It'll be amazing food after the children's musical, but that children's musical will be taking place on December 11th at 5 p.m., so we hope that you'll grab a free ticket for that. Come experience the wonderful event and be part of that. With that, I encourage you to please stand as you're able and join us as we sing together and praise God this day.
One, two, one, two, three, four.
All right, here we go. Don't lose heart.
Oh, don't lose heart. Oh, my soul. Oh, my soul. Don't give up. There is hope. There is always hope. And don't forget.
Strong and mighty, we are
every song.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing. Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. We live for you. Jesus, the name above.
Join me in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, thank you for being here with us in worship. Thank you for helping us to be here with one another, to sing your songs, to hear your scriptures, to smile and hear one another's stories. Allow us to feel your presence and allow us to experience your grace and peace. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a beautiful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a beautiful name it is. The name of Jesus. You were the Word at the beginning. One with God, the Lord Most High. Your hidden glory in creation. Now revealed in you are Christ. What a wonderful name it is. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus Christ, my King. What a wonderful name it is. Nothing compares to this. What a wonderful name it is. The name of Jesus. You didn't want heaven without us. So Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could say? What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus. What a powerful name it is, the name of Jesus.
Amen.
I would invite our baptism family to come forward at this time. Gather around the baptism font here. This is such a wonderful and special day in the life of a beautiful family here, a wonderful child of God. Today we celebrate the blessing of God. We celebrate the baptism waters. And we come knowing, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, that through the sacrament of baptism, we are initiated into Christ's holy church. We are incorporated into God's mighty act of salvation, and we are given new birth through water and the Spirit, and all of this is a gift given to us from God without price.
And so I present for baptism Luke Stephen Carveth, son of Michelle and Garrett Carveth, and brother of Owen?
Owen.
Of Owen.
Yeah, brother of Owen.
Amen. So we have some questions that we'll ask you, and I'll invite you to answer. On behalf of the whole church, I ask you now, do you renounce the spiritual forces of wickedness and reject the evil powers of this world and repent of your sin? If so, say, I do.
Do you accept the freedom and the power that God gives you to resist evil and injustice and oppression in whatever forms they present themselves? If so, please say, I do.
And do you confess Jesus Christ as your Savior, put your whole trust in his grace, and promise to serve him as your Lord in union with the church which Christ has opened to people of all ages, nations, and races? If so, answer, I do.
And do you commit to nurture Luke in Christ's holy church, that by your teaching example he may be guided to accept God's grace for himself and to profess his faith openly and to lead a Christian life? If so, say, I will.
And congregation, a question for you. Do you, as Christ's body, the church, do you also reaffirm your rejection of sin and your commitment to Jesus Christ. If say so, please say we do.
And church, will you nurture one another in the Christian faith and life and include this child now before you, Luke, in your care? Respond together. With God's help, we will proclaim the good news and live according to the example of Christ. We will surround this child with a community of love and forgiveness that he may grow in his service to others. We will pray for him that he may be a true disciple who walks in the way that leads to life.
Let us join together in professing the Christian faith as contained in the scriptures of the Old and New Testaments. Do you believe in God the Father?
I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven, is seated at the right hand of the Father, and will come again to judge the living and the dead.
And do you believe in the Holy Spirit?
I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting.
I invite you to join me now in a time of prayer. Let us pray. Eternal God, when nothing existed but chaos, you swept across the dark waters and brought forth light. In the days of Noah, you saved those on the ark through water, and after the flood, you set in the clouds a rainbow. When you saw your people as slaves in Egypt, you led them to freedom through the sea. Their children you brought through the Jordan to the land which you promised. In the fullness of time, you sent Jesus nurtured in the water of a womb. He was baptized by John and anointed by your Spirit. He called his disciples to share in the baptism of his death and resurrection and to make disciples of all nations. Pour out your Holy Spirit to bless this gift of water and those who will receive it, to wash away their sin and clothe them in righteousness throughout their lives, that dying and being raised with Christ, they may share in his final victory.
Well, if Luke is up for it, maybe Luke wants to stay with Mom. We'll see. Luke, would you be willing to come to me? Can I hold you? You can take a, keep looking at Mom and Dad. It's okay. Yeah, you can hang out with Mom. That sounds like a really good plan. Luke, we come to the baptism font this morning, and there's water in here inside. Owen, can you see it? Yeah, there's water inside, and this water is a symbol of God's love for you. A symbol of new birth and a symbol of being a part of Christ's church. So Luke, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, it's called, and of the Holy Spirit. Let's put a hand of blessing upon him. May the Holy Spirit work within you that being born of water and the Spirit, you be a faithful disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen.
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 And now, family of God, it is our joy to welcome our new brother in Christ. Please join in reading the baptismal response, which is on the screen.
Through baptism, you are incorporated by the Holy Spirit into God's new creation and made to share in Christ's royal priesthood. We are all one in Christ Jesus with joy and thanksgiving. We welcome you as a member of the family of Christ.
Members of the household of God, I commend to you Luke to your love and care. Do all in your power to increase his faith, confirm his hope, and perfect him in love. I invite you to respond with the words on the screen. We give thanks
for all that God has already given you, and we welcome you in Christian love. As members together with you in the body of Christ, and in this congregation of the United Methodist Church,
We renew our covenant faithfully to participate in the ministries of the church by our prayers, our presence, our gifts, our service, and our witness, that in everything God may be glorified through Jesus Christ.
May the God of all grace, who has called us into eternal glory, may he establish you and strengthen you. By the power of the Holy Spirit, you live as a faithful disciple. Amen. We celebrate you, Luke, and we welcome you this day. Yay. We also want to share with Luke a certificate to remember today. Pass it to Dad with open hands and a beautiful soft blanket for him. To be wrapped in God's love made by our church community. Yes. Amen. We celebrate you. Amen.
Thank you. Well, good morning. I am Pastor Lynn, the associate pastor here, and it is my joy to bring you the message this morning, and I get to begin by reading the scripture with you. So there are three passages. The first one is from the old Hebrew Bible. It's from Deuteronomy chapter 26. And what you need to picture here is that this is Moses speaking. And Moses is standing beside the Jordan River, which is the river at the other end of their journey. They've already spent their 40 years, and now they're about to go into the promised land. So picture that while you hear what Moses thinks is the most important thing for them to hear. Then you shall declare before the Lord your God, my father was a wandering Aramean, and he went down into Egypt with a few people, and he lived there, and he became a great nation, powerful and numerous. But the Egyptians mistreated us, and they made us suffer, putting us to hard labor. Then we cried out to the Lord, the God of our fathers, and the Lord heard our voice and saw our misery and toil and oppression. So the Lord brought us out of Egypt with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm, with great terror and with miraculous signs and wonders. He brought us to this place and gave us this land, a land flowing with milk and honey. Then we have a New Testament reading from the Gospel according to John chapter 4, and it's talking about Jesus. So Jesus came to a town in Samaria called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired as he was from the journey, sat down by the well. It was about the sixth hour when a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Will you give me a drink?" His disciples had gone into the town to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "You are a Jew, and I'm a Samaritan woman. How can you ask me for a drink?" For Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that asks you for a drink, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." And finally, from Hosea, also in the Old Testament, but one of the prophets. This is a prophet that he had a pretty miserable life, but he had a time when there was something that God wanted him to say. And so this is Hosea speaking the words of God. "I will say to those called not my people, you are my people," and they will say, "You are my God." All right, I'm going to take this off now since I'm up here by myself. I had a cold last week. Not bad, but it was enough that I wanted to keep all of you safe. So I'm really, really glad that I was able to be here. This is the hard part. Okay. So In April of 1933, a little boy walked into a church for the first time in his entire life. The place felt strange and even scary to him. It was all kind of a blur, but he was frightened in this place where there were words and there was music and there were people he did not know. The young nurses who had brought him there held his hand tightly, but it was still overwhelming. There was only one thing that he knew for sure. He did not belong here. Let's pray. God of love, you invite us into the adventure of life. Be with us now as we listen for your word beneath these words and these stories that will be shared today. This is our prayer in the name of Jesus. Amen. So, do you have a favorite story in the Bible? Take a minute and think. What stories come to your mind that you like? Perhaps you're thinking about Zacchaeus. I always liked Zacchaeus. You can guess why. You know, I need this shorter pulpit, right? Zacchaeus was a short little guy, and he climbed up in a tree so he could see Jesus. So that's one. Or maybe you like the story of Jesus feeding 5,000 people. Or perhaps the story of the prodigal son. You remember that one? The one where the guy goes off and he just messes up his life. And in the end, he comes back to his father. And his father welcomes him with open arms. You see, I have come to suspect that God must love a good story. Think about it. Stories are really one of the primary ways that God communicates with God's people. It's through stories that God invites us into life, but it's not at all a simple story. Rather, it's a fascinating and complex story. And our stories are so interesting to live because they have good things that happen and they have terrible things that happen. But they do happen, and it's what makes it a story. And the characters in our stories, they make mistakes. We make mistakes and catastrophes that are not at all our fault still can and do happen to us. That's true, isn't it? It really is. Yet through all of this, we are invited into faith. We're invited into a relationship with a God who sees our plight and is working for good, but respects us and calls us also to work for good. So we are the storytellers of our own lives, but our lives are part of a much bigger, bigger story, and that's God's story. And we catch glimpses of God, glimpses of hope, glimpses of faith, evidence that there is a love that's bigger than we can possibly understand. Now, when I read that scripture from Deuteronomy, and remember we were picturing Moses standing there? Well, here's the part I didn't tell you. Moses was worried that day. He was standing there and looking at those people, and he was worried that they could forget who they were. They could forget what God had done for them. They could forget who they were called to become. And that's why Moses chooses to remind them of their story. The part about a wandering Aramean was my ancestor, that's Abraham. And he went down into Egypt. So he told them their story, and most especially the part when they cried to the Lord, and the Lord heard their voice, and their story changed. You see, Moses may have been thinking that in the future, they were going to have trouble in this promised land with milk and honey. There was going to be trouble there too. So they needed to remember their story. You also recall that it was Jesus who loved to tell stories, didn't he? Just loved to tell stories. Sometimes he used those stories to teach something new and good and deep about God. And sometimes he would use his stories to challenge someone, to get them to think again about the choices that they were making in their own story. But God's not limited to only working through Bible stories. That's not what Scripture says. If you look in John 5, Jesus says, "My Father is still working, and I am working." And so I read that as saying, God is still at work in our lives today. Thanks be to God. God is working with us and through us and helping us to remember the stories that we need. Not only the Bible stories, but the stories of our lives, the stories of our families. Just like Owen was telling me today, he can't remember his own baptism because he was so little, but his parents can tell him that story. One of the families in our church is the Zimmerman family, Frank and Faye, and they passed down to their kids a story, and it was the story of Aunt Delia. And Aunt Delia was Faye's sister, still is Faye's sister, and Aunt Delia had one really quirky habit. And here's what it was. If Aunt Delia was giving a party, and she loved to give parties, but partly through the party, if she decided she was tired, she just went to bed. She left the party going, and she went to bed. And they all just smiled and laughed, and it was a great family story. And, you know, you can see people coming up with it, sitting at the Thanksgiving table, right, and say, "Remember that time Aunt Delia left the blah?" You know, yeah, we know that. Well, they never dreamed when they told that story to their children that one day their daughter, Judy, would grow up, and she would be facing cancer. And indeed, it was a cancer that would ultimately take her life at a very young age. So, Judy wrote a story about what happened to her and her husband during this time while she was struggling with the cancer. And so, here's what happened was they always gave a Christmas party every year, 40 of their closest friends. So they said, "We're going to do it this year. We're going to do it. Even in spite of the cancer, this is going to happen." Well, so listen to Judy speaking the story in her own words. "I went into my bedroom and, emboldened by thoughts of Aunt Delia, guess what she did? I lay down on the bed. And in a few minutes, Jeff came upstairs, and Judy thought he was coming to check on her. But instead, here's what Jeff said. I just need to lie down a minute. And he did. So she says, we lay there holding hands, wondering how long we could be gone from our own party without being missed. We figured hours, actually. We listened to the roar from below, and it was quite festive and comforting. I thought about all those friends downstairs who've been there for us over all these years, through the good times and more recently the challenging times, and I thought about how much I love them all." Now, Judy wrote lots of stories. She was actually a writer. Her stories, some of them were in the Chicago Tribune, and she wrote two books. Ah, here they are. And they have been gifted to our church library. So if you want to read more about Judy, you can get them. Just fake the reading log. This is a humorous one for moms. and Stranger Angels. This is the one that her family compiled of her writings while she was facing cancer and other parts of her life. But they'll be there, and you can check them out, and I recommend them to you. Now, each of us has a story, don't we? And all of our stories are intertwined. And my own story is very complicated, and I want to tell you just a little part of it, but it's something that shaped who I am as a pastor even today. So you remember that little boy that I told you about in the beginning, the one who was in church for the first time and he was scared to death? Well, that was my dad. And his father, my Grandpa Mackie, had traveled to America from Finland when he was about 18 years old. And Grandpa was a farmer in the Upper Peninsula, but he was also an old-time Finnish healer, which meant that he used massage and saunas and salves that he made from, I don't know, bark. And he used those to do his best to help people, even during that time when polio was rampant. And we've got stories. I'll tell you those some other time. But here's the truth also. My grandpa was a strong man with very strong opinions. So when he disagreed with his Lutheran pastor, he declared that neither he nor his sons would ever enter the church again. Now, he had a daughter also. She was allowed to go, but not the boys. Some years later, this went on and on, and so 10 years later, when my dad was about 10 years old, he was in terrible pain one day. He had appendicitis, and his father, the healer, did everything he knew how to do. He could not heal his son. And so he took my dad and put him in a sleigh, hooked up the horses because they were out in the UP in the winter, and took him by sleigh out to the main road where there was a neighbor who owned a car, and that neighbor drove my dad 30 miles into Munising. And so little Leonard was there at the hospital in Munising for many months because his appendix burst. And he was not expected to live. Usually if that happens, this was before antibiotics, you don't make it. But there was a brave doctor. And that doctor had an idea, and he rigged up a contraption, and he made a hole. It was right about here in my dad's back. And he put in a hose, and he started water running. And he kept this water running for literally weeks and months on end. And his idea was, and then it would drain out through the front, his idea was that he could wash out the infection. And guess what? It worked. It actually worked. So, all right, we've got a miracle. The nurses at the hospital, who now knew this little boy, he'd been there so long, they wanted to say thanks to God. So they dressed him up, took him to the church. You all know what happened then. Didn't go well, did it? But guess what? It gets even worse. Because after my dad came back, they put him back in bed. The next morning he woke up. He looked out the window at the church, which was across the street from the hospital, the Catholic church called Sacred Heart. He looked out, and the church had burned to the ground. You can look it up. You can Google it. You can see pictures. And here's the thing my dad knew. He had no doubt it was all his fault. He didn't belong there. So my dad wouldn't go to church for most of his adult life. He carried this belief. He would, you know, he didn't cognitively think it, but his heart thought it. And he carried that idea until he was 70 years old. And it was only when his own son died that that he began to reconsider and go to church. So as a kid, all I knew was that Dad and Mom stayed at home from church. Mom prayed with us kids every night, and when a neighbor offered to get the church bus to come and pick us up and take us to Sunday school, my parents said okay, including my dad. Good. And so I still remember going to church, me and my five younger brothers and sisters, and we were welcomed, sort of. But I was aware, particularly as the oldest, I would hear people talking just a little ways across the room, and I heard words like, well, where are their parents? Ooh. So it was hard, but I found Jesus there, and that made all the difference. I learned a lot of scriptures, and I did my very best to follow Jesus, but years later, one day, I was reading one of the Bible stories of Jesus, the one where he came and talked to the woman at the well in Samaria. And this time, I heard it in some fresh way. And when she went to tell the other Samaritans about Jesus, I thought, oh, this could be a story about me. This could be my story. So I see now that God was taking some really hard and painful stories in my own life and using them for good. So now in my ministry, I have a special calling. Can you guess what it is? I have a heart for people who are new, people who feel left out, people who are not at all sure whether they will fit in with the people of God. That's who my calling is at this part of my ministry, and I'm glad if I can offer just a little bit of welcome, a little bit of help. I see so many signs of God's bigger story here in this place. It is a joy to be here with you. I love it when I see the way that you show up, the way you offer your time, the way you look for ways to do good. I'm so grateful there's this new church and society group that's carving out fresh ways to work for justice and to help all of us to see where justice is needed. Thanks be to God that by the choices that each of us make every day, we can indeed find ways to keep on telling God's story even more clearly. We can do it by bringing a can of soup, by serving grieving families, by fighting for buses for people that want to come to church and there's not a bus. We can do it by noticing the people who are not here, noticing the peoples who are missing from our midst and pondering how their story, if we only heard it, might bring some new light into our own story. We can do it by forgiving our difficult neighbor one more time and being interested in their story and wondering how their story might have brought them to where they are. Or we can do it by realizing that sometimes we are the difficult people. I am a difficult person sometimes. Our stories are not simple, they're not straightforward, but God loves a good story. Jesus is very, very interested in your story and in the story that you're writing with your life, and he's not just watching from somewhere far away. No, he's leaning close. He's leaning close and he's listening and he's whispering possibilities into your life, pointing you towards your calling in this complicated, fascinating, and difficult story that we call life. Amen.
Amen. Will you join me in a time of prayer? Let us pray. Gracious and loving God, we give you thanks for the stories that we all experience in life, for the stories that become our defining stories, for the moments that we can look back on and remember and point to as pivotal moments in our life, moments that our trajectory changed and is altered. We're grateful for the people in our lives that become a part of our stories, for the people who point us in the right direction and give us meaning and purpose to our life. Today especially, God, we lift up the stories and the lives of Hope Delasky Goh, the niece of Deb Delasky Smith, and Tom Humanichik, a friend of Denny Dahlman, who will be receiving prayer quilts from our congregation this morning. And we trust that these quilts will be a part of their story, a part of their journey, a part of their healing, a part of their hope, knowing that there's a congregation here in Brighton and Whitmore Lake that's praying and holding them in the palm of their hand. And God, we trust that you're already there working in their lives. So we pray, whether it's been years since we've ever been in a church and we are afraid that a church might burn down if we don the doors of it for the very first time in a long time, or if we feel at home here, that your Holy Spirit would comfort us in the midst of this time. And we pray for families who are traveling this week, gathering perhaps for the first time in a long time around a table. Pray for the food that many people will be eating, the stories that will be told around the table. We pray for the difficult conversations, the places that we disagree with those that we love, and for the moments of great laughter and joy. We pray for the sound of children playing somewhere in a house, and for the Detroit Lions. God, as we gather in the midst of this place, we're thankful. And we celebrate all of the good things that we have to be thankful for. And we trust that as we gather with other people, or if we're gathering in the silence of our own home, that we would be able to play a mental slideshow of all of the great images of our life, the moments that you were there with us, the peaks and the valleys. And as we gather here in this space, we offer this time of our silent prayers, of confession and of gratitude. And as we continue our act of praise and prayer this day, we pray that as we gather around these tables, we would be reminded that we are 99.99% in common with one another, that our genetic makeup, that the very cells that make us who we are, which were all a part of your creation, share so much in common, even when we feel so distant and so far apart. Heal those who need healing. Bring comfort those who are grieving, and allow us to experience the grace and the magnitude of your great love for us this holiday season. And so we continue our voices by praying the prayer that Jesus taught us to pray, praying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. Well, what of a celebration that I want to share with you. About a year ago, our administrative board gave permission to our church to establish a new ministry here at First United Methodist Church of Brighton and Whitmore Lake. And that ministry is the Church and Society Committee that has been doing phenomenal work across the church in a variety of areas. You heard Pastor Lynn reference this group as she was talking about the buses in our community that began operation on Sundays, in part because of the advocacy that Church and Society did to allow the buses to begin running again. They were 6 days a week. Now they're 7 days a week. And there are people that come to this church that take the Let's Bus regularly on Sundays so that they can be here on Sunday mornings. And that was a big celebration for Church and Society. But our Church and Society ministry is led by Randy Clausen, who is a certified lay minister. She takes classes, she reads books, and she's leading a large group of folks who are doing phenomenal work within our church in line with the social principles of the United Methodist Church, which are guidelines for how we ought to live our life in faith every day. And so Randy's going to give a mission moment as we celebrate the one-year birthday celebration of our Church and Society group. Please welcome Randy as she shares this word with us.
Thanks to the pastors for allowing us to tell our story of the Church and Society. Our goal is to relate the good news of the relationship with Jesus Christ that transforms personal, social, and civic actions. We dedicate ourselves through what we say and do to bring justice to all of life's activities, possessions, use of resources, and relationships. Now, as Methodists, we believe that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection establish God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. As Methodists, we believe that Jesus is reigning now, King of kings and Lord of lords. We have been graced into God's kingdom, and we are gifted with responsibilities for our 24/7s. Kingdom people like us live on a discerning mindset. We believe that God is not neutral about our choices. The Holy Spirit is our indwelling and ongoing guide. We keep an openness of spirit and attitude, and we discern the committee's next step. Worshiping here at Brighton and Whitmore Lake shapes us and gifts us with the wisdom to discern the Holy Spirit's call to co-create the kingdom of earth as it is in heaven. Please say yes to the Holy Spirit's nudging today to discern the possibility of you joining us in our Church and Society Committee. The Economic Community Justice Project, these projects are on the back of the paper that was in your bulletin. They are working on public transit, as Pastor indicated, and on other justice issues around poverty. The Social Community Justice Project, currently focusing on justice steps for anti-racism and anti-bias educations and actions. Would everyone who has participated in any capacity with the Church and Society this past year please stand up and remain standing? All right, thank you. We thank you for your yes to the Holy Spirit's call to do justice. Thank you. Now, congregation, you have we're asking you to covenant to pray for these people, and I hear you're clapping, and I want you to know that as you pray for these people, that is like a signal to us that you will be praying, and it's an encouragement. So on the quadrants of caring on the screen, Carol Reif has used her fabric and quilting skills. She's part of these beautiful quilts. But she has made us Church and Society name tags. So when you see somebody wearing one of these name tags, you know that those people can answer any of your questions that you might have. So we are all educating ourselves and these quadrants of care as we care for people in our community. Charity, our church is involved in a lot of charity ministries that give needed short-term help. We are educating ourselves to see what is causing harm and what is keeping people in our communities from flourishing. In mutuality, we are establishing relationships with those who are experiencing obstacles to flourishing. We listen to their stories. And then in solidarity, we will, with those people who are currently suffering injustice, we create a space where their stories can be heard. And as together we'll go to the elected officials and to the decision makers and give them a place where their stories can be heard and a difference can be made in the systems of our government. So our steps are directed at the root cause of injustice. We are working together to make justice changes in our church and in our society. So we hope that as you leave here today, that you will think about the changes that you see needed, and that we will together walk the path of justice with us. Amen.
I just would love for us to take a moment and say a big thank you to Randy for all the work that she's done. Randy, yeah. Randy is a drum major for justice, and I would say on a weekly basis, she's sending emails to Pastor Lindsay and Pastor Lynn and myself with all kinds of issues and concerns about what's going on in our world today and how United Methodists ought to respond to some of those concerns and cries for justice. And I'm grateful that you are raising our awareness and raising our investment in the lives of folks who are suffering in our community. So thank you, Randy, for your work. We've come to a time in our service where we have an opportunity to respond to God's work in our lives. If this is your first Sunday with us, please feel no obligation to give. This is your presence in and of itself as a gift to us. We'd feel so honored if you take a moment and fill out a connection card and just let us know that you are here. If this is your spiritual home, we invite you to give generously so that the ministries of our church can continue to flourish. And during the month of October, we did a stewardship campaign here at the church, and we're very grateful to be able to share, especially in a year and in an economic climate like the one that we're in currently, that at this moment, if you take where we are right now with where we were last year, a year ago at this time, we have received two more estimates of giving than we had received last year at this time. And because of the various folks increasing their estimates of giving, we've received about $35,000 more in estimated gifts next year than we had this year at this time last year. I hope that all made sense. There were a lot of numbers there. But suffice it to say, we're grateful for the extravagant generosity of folks here in this congregation. Your gifts are what allow us to do the work of Jesus Christ in our world today. Will the ushers please come forward and assist us in this morning's offering? Amen.
I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like. I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night. You tell and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. What we need before we say, oh.
For this last song, we have a echo part. The high part comes second. You are holy, you are holy. Whichever one you want. The low one is in green, the high one is in yellow, but it will seem kind of intuitive. You are Lord of Lords. One. Two, three.
You are Lord of Lords, you are King of Kings, you are mighty God, Lord of everything. You're Emmanuel, you're the great I Am, you're the Prince of Peace, who is the Lamb. You're the living God, you're my saving grace, you will reign forever, you are Ancient of Days. Alpha, Omega, beginning and end. You're my Savior, Messiah, Redeemer and friend. You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
You're my Prince of Peace, and I will live my life for you.
Amen.
Oh, gracious God, as we go out into this Thanksgiving week, help us to listen for someone else's story, whether it's on Thursday or it's by phone some other day. Let us hear with fresh ears, and let us hear your voice beneath the voice that we hear. Be with us now. Bless us with thanksgiving. Help us to praise you with every day of our lives. Amen.
We are so glad you worshiped with us. We are a church that strives to know God, love God, and serve God. You are invited into this mission by worshiping, joining one or more small groups, sharing prayer requests, and becoming part of the community. We are one church with two locations. The Whitmore Lake campus is located at the corner of Main Street and East Shore Drive at 9318 Main Street in Whitmore Lake, Michigan. The Brighton campus is located at the intersection of Brighton Lake Road and Grand River Avenue at 400 East Grand River Avenue in Brighton, Michigan. Please visit us online at brightonfumc.org for details about in-person worship at both of our two locations. We hope you were blessed by this worship. Please click the like button, subscribe to our channel, share this video, and join us again next week.